The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio. Why would a person give up a good engineering career to research an old family drama?
Well, in 1997, I had been working for Bechtel for 14 years, I guess, at that point. I had been working for them as an engineer since I got out of college, and I went to Butte for my Aunt Helen Lescovar's funeral. And while there, these family gatherings, all kinds of stories pouring forth. And there were a couple of stories I had never heard before. This was on my mom's side of the family. And one of those was that my great-grandmother, Sarah Hughes, had been arrested for murdering her husband when they were homesteading out in eastern Montana near Forsyth. So this was very stunning to hear this. Now, I knew she was very notorious. My grandmother herself had told me that her mother, she told me about some horrible things that her mother had done. But this really took it all to a new level. So I went home back to my job with Bechtel in Las Vegas, and these stories just kept swimming around in my head. And literally, I was sitting on my patio, and the idea just popped in my head. I was going to go find out what happened and write a book about it.
Welcome to The Right Question, a program that explores the world of writing and publishing in the Western United States. I'm Will Tilton. Our guest today is author Christy Lescovar from Las Vegas, Nevada. Lescovar's narrative nonfiction book, One Night in a Bad Inn, relates the story of her great-grandmother and grandmother. The action begins in Forsyth, Montana, and continues on to Miles City, Butte, Twin Bridges, Boulder, the state prison in Deer Lodge, Pocatello, Idaho, and the battlefields of World War I. One Night in a Bad Inn is a finalist for the High Plains Books Award's Best First Book. Look for more information about Christy Lescovar at mtpr.org. Coming up a bit later in the program, FYI, information about recently published books.
In retrospect, it's a little odd that I decided I was going to write a book before I knew what happened. So that's what I did. So then I started my research. And I went to my bosses at Bechtel and said I wanted to take a leave of absence. And one of them in particular was great. He said, if this is something you really want to do, you better do it or you're going to regret it later. And writing a book where you are going to have to go talk to your family members, you cannot put that off. You hope that your loved ones will be with you for a very long time. You hope you will be around for a very long time. But there are no guarantees on any of that. So if I was going to do it, that was when I had to start doing it. So I took my leave of absence, and I started out going to find out what happened about this. I knew there was a fire on the ranch, dead body, Sarah arrested for murdering her husband. So I called the courthouse in Forsyth, Rosebud County, and I asked a very direct question. I said, do you have any record of Sarah Hughes being accused of murder? And the gal who answered the phone, very helpful, she says, I'll go check. And she goes, and I know if anybody who's done historical research at the courthouse knows they have these great big, huge ledger books. They're by last name, so it's very easy to look up. And she came back and she said no. So I was a bit stunned by that, and I thanked her and hung up. So then I dialed, I thought a minute, then I dialed again. And I asked a more broad question. I said, do you have any record of Sarah Hughes being accused of anything? And of course they knew because they had seen it right there in the record. But apparently I learned later they were caucusing back and forth in the courthouse. Oh, should we tell her? Oh, dear. You know, she might be upset. Murder's bad, but this is bad too. And so then they decided, now they had to tell me because I asked the broader question. And that was a real stunner. And later I was to find out the reason there was no record of Sarah Hughes being arrested for murder was that she had another husband we didn't know about. So she had a completely different last name. So anyway, they gathered all the records from the bowels of the courthouse out there in Forsyth and sent it off to me. And turns out the fugitive had gone to New York City. Lawyers in New York had deposed witnesses who had seen him. And that really gave me the whole story. Because the story went so far away, I really had a lot of historical detail to work with.
Voices that stand alone. shedding the past, a shadow skin, I step from skies green into a truth willing, washing away the sin, away the sin.
So after this this murder mystery is somewhat resolved, some people do go to prison. After all that, and while this is all happening, my grandmother is in the orphanage in Twin Bridges. She's 11 years old at this time, and she's sent off to the orphanage. So after all the dust settles from all this, the family reunites in Butte. And it's 1915, and the First World War has started. And my grandmother, Ayala, there meets a young, handsome Irish miner named Peter Thompson, and they will ultimately marry, but not till after the war. And then when we go into the war in 1917, Peter enlists in the Army, and he goes off to fight in the Wild West Division. He's actually in the Powder River Gang of the Wild West Division, which included the men from the Western States. So anybody listening who had a family member from a Western state who was in the First World War, this is their story also, the story of the 91st. And so to do the research, I went everywhere anything happened, anything significant happened in the book. So that included the battlefields in France and Belgium. And that really also helped me kickstart my research in a lot of ways. I had already had some materials. Ironically, a man that I worked with at Bechtel was a retired Army colonel. And when I told him about working on the book, he said, oh, a friend of mine runs the Center for Military History. Well, that was the first time I heard that there was a Center for Military History. So that got me, and I found, you know, the thing about when you're dealing with history, people whose profession is history love their jobs, and they are so into it, and they are so helpful. And this woman there helped me out, and I think she must be the one who told me about the Military History Institute in Carlisle at the War College, because I did a lot of research there. But the going to the battlefields was a big help because, well, they also gave me documents I wasn't aware of. And also, I became acquainted with the man who works at Flanders Field, the American Cemetery in Flanders. And he continued to help me with my research. He's a real World War I buff and had a lot of resources. Because in the whole book, I was telling the story of these individuals, about the orphanage. I'm talking about a little girl in the orphanage. What was life for her? Like for her at that time in 1913 in the Twin Bridges orphanage. Same thing with the war. I wasn't getting into all the strategy and the weaponry. I was talking about this soldier, Peter Thompson. I wanted the reader to feel like they are following Peter Thompson through the mud of the Argonne to really feel what it was like for him. And that I found is very difficult research. When you want to get down to that everyday life level, that is difficult. So I was literally going through boxes of field messages, actually reading the field messages that the officers wrote, operations reports that they wrote in pencil on the battlefield. And the thing is, it's wonderful to have all those eyewitness accounts, but as we know, eyewitness accounts don't always agree with each other. So I also had to, and it was probably all true, but it was probably different parts of the battlefield. So I had to figure out, okay, where was Peter? So it was really a jigsaw puzzle to try to piece all of this together. It was a lot of fun, but there were days I thought my brain was going to explode.
We'll hear more from Christy Leskovar in just a minute. FYI, new from Running Press, Stocking America, the Journal of an Unknown Rock and Roll Band by the Hermans from Missoula, Montana. If you're interested in fiction, look for Five Skies by Ron Carlson of Irvine, California. For more information about new books by regional authors, contact your favorite bookseller or library. And consider this from Thomas Jefferson. A lawyer without books would be like a workman without tools.
It was very interesting to me to discover that when Sarah bought that house in Forsyth, my great-grandmother, Sarah bought it. It was just in Sarah's name. And the real stunner when in Butte, when my grandmother bought their house on Walnut Street, it was only in her name, and no one in the family knew that. One thing about doing historical research, I learned, you never overlook anything, because you can find surprises in the most pedestrian sources. You just think, oh, an abstract for a house. Okay, they bought a house. Well, that's where I found out the house was only in my grandmother's name. And then I found the mortgage, and the mortgage was only in Peter's name, her husband. So she owned the house, and he was obligated to pay for it. Sarah's house is still there. Last October, we took a tour, a wagon ride with Clydesdales. We rode to Sarah's house, and I read from the book, and I talked about the story along the way, and we rode to the scene of the crime. I won't say where that was, but I've been hearing from readers outside of Montana, from California, Washington State, who have read the book and then gone to Montana to see the sites in the book, or else have read it and are planning a trip to go see the sites in the book. So we put on the website, onenightinabadend.com, points of interest, so that just to make that easier for people who would like to do that.
Our guest today was author Christy Lascovar from Las Vegas, Nevada. The Right Question is produced by Sheree Newman, executive producer Michael Marsolek. Special thanks to Barbara Thoreau, Pragita Sharma, Renee McGrath, and Kim Anderson. This program is supported in part by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans. This program included music by Brian Copper, Michael Blessing, and Spring Hill. The Right Question is a production of Montana Public Radio. For more information and to send comments, go to mtpr.org.